T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Live from Kirby Ice House, just off Richmond, in preparation for tonight's Game 3 of the ALCS, Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show. Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show, with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number 1.
All right, make sure you stay tuned as we're live at Kirby Ice House. This is a special Big 3 because you got a chance to win a little freeness. Get a couple of tickets out here. Not just a couple, a four-pack of tickets. Stay tuned in this segment. You'll have to listen for the cue to call, but you'll have a chance to win a four-pack of tickets to see Jake Owen at the Houston Open Concert Series at Minute Maid Park on Friday, November 12th, Clint. Jake Owen, four-pack tickets coming up in this segment, so make sure you stay tuned and listen through for your cue to call and your chance to win these.
Oh, that's another good one right there, man. That's probably never sit down, know every word to every song that he plays.
You got that one, huh?
Yeah. I mean, he's big time. That would be a hell of a night. Something that I would damn sure enjoy, having a couple of cold Coors Light, listen to a little country music. Look here, if they're playing at Minute Maid Park, you know they got a set list that's gonna keep you on your feet. So, Jake Owen's a good one, no doubt about it.
So make sure you stay tuned for that coming up in this segment. All right, the big story tonight here, Clint, is Game 3. The Astros, they go to Fenway to play the Red Sox in Game 3, a pivotal Game 3 as the series is tied. Jose Urquidy versus Eduardo Rodriguez. This is what Dusty Baker said about the importance of Urquidy tonight.
They've done it in the past. You know, Jose, I think he's a little rookie pitching in the World Series. So, you know, and he's a very calm, cool, very mature dude. And so, you know, if anybody can handle it, you know, like Jose, you know, we feel can handle it. And so we feel very confident with Jose. You know, Framber should take us a lot deeper in the game than he did the other day. I mean, sometimes, regardless of the game or the stakes or whatever it is, you know, you don't have the same quality every day. And so, you know, the fact that he didn't throw too many pitches, you know, we feel is going to be to his benefit.
Clint, do you feel as confident in Jose Urquidy tonight as the manager Dusty Baker seems to?
No, I don't know that I'm as glass half full as Dusty Baker is. I'm aware that, you know, you've had two young pitchers that showed some promise throughout the year that have struggled mightily in the playoffs, and Jose Urquidy's a guy that's been had a hard time staying healthy.
Yep.
He's obviously had some rough outings himself. Now, he's got a little bit of experience, small sample size of experience in the playoffs. But, hell, who doesn't on this Astros team at this point in time? So, I think Dusty's kind of where I was on Friday, where he's pretty super. He's super confident. I feel good about it. I think they'll be fine. But there's nothing about Jose Urquidy, about this starting rotation right now, that I'm overly confident about, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and it's – and they need him. They need him tonight because of what's happened in the – you hint to it, what's happened in the two previous starts. Their starters have gotten 11 outs
right
in the first two games.
Yeah.
11 outs.
That's tough sledding. I mean, the pressure is – now, definitely the pressure is squarely on Jose Urquidy. There's no question about it. I mean, the two guys, the two starters in the rotation before him have contributed – damn near nothing to the series. The Astros sit at 1-1, and he's obviously, there's going to be a bullpen game in Game 4.
Got to be.
And so you've been lucky to split the first two games of the series, and you've got a game that's going to be, you're going to need some stars to align to win that ball game in Game 4. with some type of bullpen, some type of piggyback game. So the Astros winning this ball game, the first game in Boston, would be absolutely huge, and the pressure is on Jose Urquidy. The bullpen is not as taxed as I thought they were.
No.
When we first got in today, I thought, man, this bullpen was taxed. But as you and I were talking through it, now they've been used more than you would like them to have been used, but they're not necessarily taxed.
With the day off yesterday.
Yes. They should be in pretty good shape and be able to you know, help Jose Urquidy when need be. But still, you at some point in time, you've got to have your starters go, you know, 5, 6, even 7 innings. And the way they've started so far with Fromber and Luis Garcia just isn't it.
Dirty, the key is, in my opinion, I don't know what Dusty and James Click and Brent Strom are thinking, but in my opinion, you talked about, you referenced Game 4 being a bullpen game. You got to me to avoid Greinke and Javier. Like, it doesn't it feel like if tomorrow's going to be a bullpen game, those two have to pitch, right? Like, those two have to pitch multiple innings. And we know Javier pitched in Game 1 and was good in 2 innings. You shut him down. Those two guys, to me, have to be avoided tonight.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, that was the point. Like, those two guys, when you talk about Christian Javier and Zach Greinke, I think those are the two guys that haven't overextended themselves in this series already out of the bullpen, that you would believe have plenty of rest to piggyback a game for if need be. And that means to me that those guys are off limits tonight. And the best way to keep those guys from being thrown into the fire and having to pitch tonight is if Jose Urquidy can get you to 5, maybe even get you to 6, and then you can trust the bullpen to get you to Stanek and Graveman and Presley, or just Presley and Graveman. Some combination of those three guys you can trust. But Jose Urquidy has to get – to me, Jose Urquidy has to get to 5 or 6 for that to happen, Show.
Gotcha.
Big 3-3, number 2.
The Texans will not snap it again with 10 seconds left. Time will drain, and the Texans – fall hard to the Indianapolis Colts, 31-3. The Texans will take on the Cardinals in Phoenix next week.
Remember, stay tuned in this segment. Your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to see Jake Owen. That was Mark Vandermeer with the final call, and you can listen to Mark Vandermeer as he will have Coach David Culley on the Coach's Show following us at 5 o'clock, Clint. But 31-3. I know you did the post game last night. They're 1-5 as they head to take on Arizona, the best team in football in terms of record. That was a tough one yesterday, and I don't know if it was as bad as the Buffalo game, but damn, at times it felt like it.
Yeah, look, I think it was as bad as the Buffalo game, simply if you look at how they lost the football game. I mean, again, both games were bad, so I mean we're comparing two terrible football games by the Houston Texans. One happened to be a little bit worse, but we're splitting hairs there. When you boil it all down, the Indianapolis Colts were a team that the Houston Texans should have at least had a puncher's chance to be in the game in the fourth quarter, and they weren't. And you look at how it all went down. They were unbelievably undisciplined on the defensive side of the football. Literally, Lovie Smith's name is synonymous with cover two. And this defensive football team, the veterans on this defensive football team, could not do the simple thing savagely well in terms of playing cover two. And every high school in America plays cover two. This is something these guys have been doing since they were 14 years old, some of them even younger. There's absolutely zero excuse for a secondary for the Houston Texans that's coached by Lovie Smith to make the kind of mistakes that they made playing cover two. They gave up a 51-yard touchdown. They gave up a 52-yard chunk play. And they gave up a 26-yard touchdown, I believe, to Mo Alie-Cox. All of them playing their staple cover two, and all of them with just absolute major mistakes by veterans. You can't have it. And then on the offensive side of the football, the lack of wanting to hit somebody in the teeth. Yeah. The lack of wanting to dominate another man across the ball from you is a major problem, and it was on full display with David Johnson's Ole block in a critical moment at the end of the second half when the team was on the verge, on fringe field goal range, and was potentially going to end a drive in at least a field goal attempt. David Johnson turns down contact, and the quarterback gets sacked, and you end up having to punt. That was the story of the game for me, and those are things that – it don't matter who the opponent is. Doesn't matter they're a playoff team, show. Doesn't matter that it was on the road, bad weather, in front of a big crowd. None of that matters. You beat yourself yesterday, and you got beat to the tune of, what was it, 31-3?
31-3. The other additional news with the Texans from the injury front, Marcus Cannon had back surgery, and he is out for the season.
Yep.
So you're talking about that physical nature. We talked to Charlie Heck last week on the show. Go back and use that Odyssey rerun feature, hell, if you want to, go check it out. We got it up there on the podcast page. We had a good conversation with him, but it looks like it's his job the rest of the way as Marcus Cannon is out for the season with back surgery. So
you can argue they ran the ball better yesterday. That's one thing that you can pull from that. They ran the ball better with two backup tackles and a backup center in the ball game than they did with one of the highest paid left tackles. You're a Super Bowl champion right tackle. And I don't does Justin Britt have a Super Bowl? No, he played in a Super Bowl with Seattle.
I don't think he was there with Seattle.
But you pull those three linemen out of the mix, and you play not as good a run defense as you played in the past, but a very formidable one, definitely, with some very good defensive linemen. And the Texans went out there and they at least ran the ball. Statistically, they produced more than they have in the past. I know it wasn't pretty, but when you think about it, they did it with three backup offensive linemen. That doesn't say much for the starters that were in there.
All right, Bam, it's your time right now. Caller number five, 713-572-4610. Call in right now for your chance to win a four-pack of tickets to see Jake Owen at the Houston Open Concert Series at Minute Maid Park on Friday, November 12th. 713-572-4610, caller number five. And Tyler will get you set up.
Number three.
Crank that thing up, Chief.
You better crank that up. All right, we close out the NFL season tonight, the NFL week tonight. Bills, Titans, AFC South. The Titans can make their lead even bigger, or the Colts can really feel like they're in it if the Bills take care of business with Tennessee. Bills have been playing as well as anybody in the AFC, and many people think they're the best team now in the AFC. You think Tennessee's got a shot in this one tonight?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they'll have a shot. But, I mean, they're still just not good enough defensively to be a real contender. Maybe in this division, obviously, it's not real hard to be a contender in this particular division. But I think when you look at what they were able to do a couple of years ago and make that run to the AFC Championship, I don't see that in their future right now because their defense, man, I don't know what the stats say, but every time I flip the TV on, their defense can't hold water.
No, they can't. And it's not hard to hold water, right?
I guess.
Because that's just a statement.
If you don't have any holes in your cup, you can't.
But they got a whole bunch of holes.
That's the point. They got a whole bunch of holes, brother.
They got a whole bunch of holes in their cup. All right, man. That's the big three coming up. Hey, we're live out here. Get on out here. Out here at Kirby Ice House off of Richmond. I don't know what the hell. Whoever said Franklin earlier, that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But off of Richmond. Here, come on out here as people are starting to gather. As we get you prepared for Game 3, a huge game tonight. Davis Mills, I know a lot of people had heavy thoughts about Davis Mills. And the big question coming into this week, did he do enough? Will he do enough in the game on Sunday to keep his job when Tyrod Taylor comes back? Well, we've got Clint, our quarterback here, who breaks down quarterbacks as well as anybody in this city. We'll see what he thinks about that coming up next.
Live from Kirby Ice House, just off Richmond, in preparation for tonight's Game 3 of the ALCS, Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show. Sports Radio 610. Breaking news. Brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Protect your privacy online for free with DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
Oh, wow. As we are live out here at Kirby Ice House, we got breaking news right off the jump in this segment. Go ahead, Tyler, our trusty producer. What's the latest?
The Astros have released their lineup for tonight's ALCS Game 3 in Boston. It is not Jake Meyers in center field. It is not Chaz McCormick in center field. It is Jose Siri getting the start in center field for the Houston Astros.
Oh, my. Jose Siri. In center field.
What are we doing, Dusty?
Dusty's
got one. He's got one job.
Hold on, Tyler. Are you serious?
Yes. That is real news.
Jose Siri is getting the start in center field tonight.
You reading my face?
No. Yes, I read it. That is an interesting turn of events. I did not see this one coming. Obviously, your guy Jake Myers.
He was taking balls off center field wall. I saw videos of it. He was fielding balls off center field at the center field wall in Fenway.
Well, obviously, maybe Dusty doesn't feel he's completely right yet. I don't know what Chaz was doing to get himself out of the lineup.
What are we doing, Dusty? I mean, you got one job. You got one job is to figure out who the eight-hole hitter is and who the center fielder
he's
is.
He's having fun
and
with that job.
And he's got a three-man rotation going in center field.
Didn't I think? I thought, I promise you. Clint, I told you.
You're going to have a hell of a time selling me that somebody ought to be in the left field specially so they can play balls off the wall with this decision.
Oh, I'm not selling you on anything. That's another thing. I don't know if Jose Siri has ever played in center field in Fenway. And when you talk about all of the dimensions and caroms that can go out, it's there in center field too. He's getting the start tonight in center field. It's an interesting turn of events. I did not think – I've said it. I said he is going to be on this roster, but I thought it's his speed. You need a late base runner, a steal late in the game. It's him. I didn't know he's going to be starting games, especially with Chaz McCormick. What has he done to get himself out of the lineup? He had three hits in game one. I guess he had three strikeouts in game two. But, I mean, my goodness. I mean, wow, surprising move there from Dusty Baker going into game three.
Is it really?
Yes. Yes, still has caught me off guard. That
I'm from a different
generation.
It's
so much so when I hear it. I know it. That when you play, I'm glad you played that, Tyler. It's so much so that I feel like this was above Dusty or somebody else came to the table.
No, don't you do it. You don't even try to put this piss poor decision on somebody else. Now.
I'm just saying this seems like a
It seems like
metrics,
a Dusty Baker. It seems like a Dusty Baker decision.
This seems like a metrics. This seems like a analytical move. This seems like something like that. Then Dusty just a hunch to play a guy who's never played before.
Well, since me and old Jeff Bagwell, since we see the game from the same lens, I mean, we can go back to the priority should be the best defensive center fielder, and then you can go to what's going on at the plate and who hits what pitching better. But right now, there's no way in hell that Siri is the better defensive center fielder.
There's just no way in hell. I don't know what Chaz McCormick right now is. If Jake Myers can't go, or if you don't feel comfortable putting him out there, I don't know what Chaz McCormick, because he's made some really good defensive plays as well. Had a diving catch on Kike Hernandez. I don't know. This one caught me off guard. This is another one of those. Dusty, boy, you're feeling yourself, and you sure enough better be right on this.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Well, he's bought a little bit of time by the way that he's handled the bullpen, and even though, you know, depending on, you know, who you ask, I think Brent Strom has a little more say-so in what the hell goes on the pitching mound and starting rotation and in the bullpen. But I guess he's earned a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, if you will, because of what the bullpen has done the last two outings. I mean, here's the deal is like, seriously, Dusty has two jobs. Who's playing center field batting eight? And if the wheels come off the starter, which they have done, I'm assuming him and Brent Strom got a round table. How they gonna get through the meat of a baseball game? That's your two jobs.
That's his two jobs.
And Dusty has decided to have a three-man rotation in center
field. They're having fun in center.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And I see it on the show's Army text line as they're jumping in. From different people, Dusty is smoking something. Seriously, no, this is Dusty all the way. People agreeing with Clint. This is 1,000% Dusty old mentality. This doesn't sound like an old guy's mentality, though, to bring a guy in who's never played in the playoffs before. That doesn't sound like something that a guy who is – how old you have Dusty at 80?
He's 84.
Dusty, I believe 73 unofficial.
This is – I'm the manager, and I got to feel like I've done something. And 1 through 7 is – they might as well just put it – like when they go to the printer and print all the starting lineups, just hand them to Dusty with the 8-hole empty. That's it. Everybody else is filled in. And Dusty gets to go down and put the positions and the 8-hole hitter. That's it. And for whatever reason, Dusty doesn't want to just enjoy the fact that he has that luxury. and do the right thing and put a center fielder in there, let the kid play, let the kid get in a rhythm, whoever the hell it may be, and leave it alone. But he wants to have a three-man rotation.
You think Dusty just hit? You don't think enough those trips that he made to the duck, to the bull, or to the pitcher's mound in the first two games was enough of decisions for him to make? I mean, he walked out there 18 times. It felt like.
Yeah, but I think
he
knows.
I got to put my stamp on it here.
I think he knows that anybody that follows the Astros knows that Brent Strom is pulling those strings from a pitcher's standpoint. Mm. I think this is
the one he's going to pull.
We're going to overthink this 8-hole hitter and who's going to play center field. That's what we're going to do.
Tyler, are you nervous about this?
It's a weird decision, man. I mean, I like Siri in the box. I like the attitude he brings, but I mean, Myers had said he felt good and was ready to go. I just don't get it.
He sounds like he's such a good celebrator. I felt like it's a solid role for him.
Yeah, being a celebrator, coming out of the dugout
great.
When somebody else does something.
Oh, he's elite.
One reason that I have a hard time wrapping my mind around it is because for going on 3 years now of covering the Astros on a day-to-day basis, I've been bombarded with is the moment too big questions about certain players, like young players, guys have never been there. The moment's going to be too big. And if that is a real thing, which I've said from Jump Street, I'll be transparent. You can't tell me guys are stepping in the plate and they're going, the pitcher's in the windup and they're going, oh man, I'm in the World Series. It's a big ass game. I don't know what I'm going to do here. I don't believe in that. But I have been bombarded with the moment may be too big for these young guys. And then all of a sudden, Dusty's just going to throw Siri out there in center field.
Have at it, Doug. Your first game, baby. Fenway Park, your first playoff game, Jack. Fenway Park.
They must have warmed up.
He's played 21 games in his Major League Baseball life.
And we're going to start him in center field.
Center field. And someone texted, see, I'm about to get a little hot. I'm scratching the inside of my back right now.
It
might be. They meet. They're pretty high. But someone on the show's Army text line hits it with, oh, hold on. Y'all make it in all caps like they yelled at me. Y'all make it sound like McCormick or Myers is just over the top better than Siri. I think Siri will show out tonight. Well, he may. All right. He may. But let's not act like Chaz McCormick's hitting .417 in the postseason. He had three hits in the first game. Made a really good defensive play, diving play in the outfield. Has been good in the outfield. Hell yes. That makes sense. To keep him out there if you don't feel like Jake Myers is ready. Not to mention Jake Myers had played pretty well in the first series against the White Sox before he got injured. This seems like a weird time to just – your gut feeling goes, hey, guys played 29 games in the bigs. Let me start him. Oh, okay. Now it may work. Don't sit here, and I'm sure he'll hit two home runs tonight, and people will come in here, and I think people will come up here tomorrow because we'll be here tomorrow too personally to drive up to Kirby Ice House and tell me, I told you. But don't sit here and act like, boy, this is a heads-up move by Dusty.
Yeah, this is going to be a hindsight move, right? I mean, it's –
this one will be ones where Dusty sits in their post game with Chandler Rome and say, what you got to say?
I mean, Siri has to hit .415 plus and play a very clean outfield in Fenway on his first outing in order for it to be a good move. It may happen. Crazier things have happened, but it's tough for me to wrap my mind around Dusty having that kind of gut feeling right now and making that move. I don't know what's his deal with rotation?
I don't know.
It's like he's not like even if Myers is down, it's like, well, I got to have two guy rotation.
I got to go in here, man. I guess maybe there's no resting. They got a day off yesterday. There's no rest for Chaz. I don't get it. That's the latest. Jose Siri gets his first postseason start and is going to play his 22nd game in the major leagues at Fenway in a pivotal game three. How about it, Dusty? Why not? I still believe James Click is a part of this move, and I don't care what you got to say. All right, man, we got to jump in here. We got bombarded with that breaking news, but we're live here at Kirby Ice House. Come on out right off of Richmond. Come see us as we get you ready for game three as Jose Siri and the Houston Astros look to take on the Boston Red Sox tonight. We've got to get to Davis Mills and Clint. We got to figure this out. Coming up, did he do enough to keep his job? When Tyrod Taylor comes back, did Davis Mills do enough to keep his job? That's next.
Live from Kirby Ice House, just off Richmond, in preparation for tonight's Game 3 of the ALCS, Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Davis Mills under center, one back, Mark Ingram. Nico Collins, short side left. Mills, play fake, throws over the middle, hits Collins, and he's wrapped up at the 44-yard line. Little yak after the catch as the Texans get a first down, 19-yard pass play.
All right, Clint, man, as we're here live at Kirby Ice House getting you ready for Game 3, it is a Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light. And, Clint, this is something that people react to every single Sunday, that Davis Mills is the quarterback. How was his performance? He has shown us ups and downs, right? We saw real low moments against Buffalo, and then saw real promising moments against the Patriots. That has caused you to feel differently about what the Texans should do moving forward every week. Now this is a week they lose 31 to 3. He had multiple turnovers in this game. And struggled right out the gate, especially in the third quarter, as their defense gets a stop at 10-3, one possession game. He gets a turnover there. Did he do enough right now? Last week for you, he had done enough. You thought, man, he should stay the quarterback when Tyrod Taylor comes back off of that. What about now? Has your assessment changed after watching him on Sunday?
No, I think the right way for the Texans to go right now is to stick with Davis Mills. I think it's, at this point in time, it's anything short of his wheels coming off, him being completely overwhelmed by the situation, the team just being completely unable to move the football, convert third downs or score points. I think the right path here at 1-5 now is to continue forward with Davis Mills as your quarterback and allow him to develop or mature. Give him every opportunity that you possibly can as an organization so that you can make the decision of what to do in the draft, what to do at the quarterback position. It's going to impact that decision any way it goes. You might as well ride it out and see what the kid actually is capable of doing. So this is where I'm at. I think, like, the Texans and Davis Mills moving forward, it's not if he can do enough to keep his job. Right? It's does he do enough bad to lose his job? Mm. Right? If he's not overwhelmed, if he's not consistently, you know, turning the ball over four or five times in a game, then I think you got to ride with Davis Mills.
And you didn't feel like you saw that yesterday enough to lose his job with the turnovers, with the offense in the second half. I mean, they didn't score in the second half.
Score but three anyway.
Yeah, I know, but it kind of mirrored. Like, you're in a ball game, 10-3 at the half. Your defense comes out, gets a stop, and then just get absolutely boat raced the rest of the way. But you felt like there wasn't enough bad there done. The Buffalo game, you clearly felt there was enough bad. This one, it feels different, at least from Davis Mills' perspective.
Yeah, the Buffalo game, he was completely overwhelmed, outclassed. Now, there's a lot of people that were, but when the quarterback's that way, it's you can't overcome it, right? And you've got another quarterback in the house that could at least stabilize the offense in those particular kind of situations. So as long as we don't see those kinds of situations again and keep coming up again and again and again, then I'm riding with Davis Mills. From here on out. Look, I think what we saw from Davis Mills against New England and what we saw from Davis Mills against Indianapolis, I think you can win ball games with. I think you can give yourself a chance to
against Indy too?
Yeah. Teams like Indy, not Buffalo and teams, you know, teams of that ilk, the ones that, you know, like this week, Arizona. No, I don't. That ain't gonna do it. You got to be special to beat those kind of teams. The Rams, you got to be special to beat those kind of teams. I'm talking about to be able to go out there and be competitive with your average to below average teams in the NFL. The quarterback play that I saw against New England and the quarterback play that I saw yesterday against Indy, you can be in it in the fourth quarter and potentially win some ball games. He threw an interception at a critical moment. Quarterbacks do that. We saw Mac Jones and Dak Prescott do that last night all at critical moments of that football game. The problem yesterday was not interceptions. It was not that your quarterback was overwhelmed. It was not that your quarterback wasn't capable of making plays. It was all of the problems that we've seen throughout the Houston Texans program. It was all of those problems rearing their ugly head once again, more so than it was the quarterback play.
Clint Sterner, Ron, the show Hughley live here at Kirby Ice House off Richmond. Come check us out as we get you set for game three on a reaction Monday presented by Coors Light. Clint, I think the part about it that gets me is it's such – like for me, I thought if we see a level of consistency – where you at 1-4 last week, now 1-5. We see where this thing is going. If you get a level of consistency, I'm thinking, yes, he should be the guy, because this thing is about development right now to me. This was, to me, felt like a bit of a step back, but I don't know who that's on. Is that on Davis? Is that on Chip Kelly or whatever the offense is doing? Because it felt like a step back from that perspective as well.
I don't see it as a step back, but I also don't see it as a step forward. That's the kind of game for me. It was one of those like, he didn't do like the one interception to start the second half. Totally understandable. You could see on the TV copy where that backer was floating in a blind spot, and now he can't do it. It's his fault. I'm not making an excuse. It's his fault he can't do it. But that interception is thrown across the league, across all of college football. You see that. Cover two, the backer you can't see, he floats in late. It happens. And, you know, the late interception, it was 31-3. You're forcing the ball into cover two, trying to get a play to move the football at that point in time. The last interception, I don't even worry about that. It's the one at the beginning of the second half, if we're evaluating his play, was absolutely critical, and it can't happen. From a timing perspective and from how the interception – unfolded show, but I don't look at the overall. I mean, hell, he was rocking and rolling, and I mean, he had an 85% completion in the first half, and was throwing the ball really, really well in the first half. It looked to me like they were protecting him a little bit too much.
That's where I was going to go. It felt like the down the field stuff we saw last week against the Patriots. It didn't feel like we saw as much. Well, it didn't feel like we didn't see.
They're a bend don't break offense. I mean defense, and so I don't know. I don't know if it was more of that or if it was. But Tim Kelly definitely appeared to be protecting him with all the little missile screens.
They were going to run wide receiver screens in this game today.
Well, you look at what they did with him, right? They get a penalty on the first play of the game. They back him up. It's 1st and 15. They run the ball. Worst run offense in the league. Right, you're just throwing the towel in and going, okay, we're going to be 2nd and long. Right?
Ready to punt this bad boy.
Yeah, we've seen enough from this run game to know that you shouldn't run the ball on 1st and 15 if you do have a penalty on the first play. Hopefully you don't, but you shouldn't run the ball if that is the case. Right? Look at the end of the first half. They got the ball back with right under 2 minutes left on the clock, I believe. And they literally burnt 30-plus seconds while they ran one play.
Yeah. And then they finally get the big play to Cooks, and now –
well, they were aggressive with two play calls, and he threw two dimes down the field that gave you 10, 15-yard chunk plays that forced Tim Kelly and David Cullen into a position of like, damn, maybe we can get a field goal here, right? And so that's the kind of like they're protecting him. You think, okay, it's minute 50 left. Hey, empty the clip and try to get some points right here. And they don't do it. Again, all the missile screens, running the ball on 1st and 15, those are all things that I just think there's still something in play there where they're trying to protect this young quarterback. But with all that said, he didn't impress me yesterday, but he also didn't push me to a point of where I'm like, I've seen enough, I'm done, put Tyrod Taylor back in there. And until I see that, unfortunately or fortunately, I think that Davis Mills is going to be the quarterback for this football team until he does something so bad consistently where you just can't move forward with him. I think that's where the Texans are at right now.
Yeah, I do too. I sent out a tweet early in the first quarter where I said, I hope Texans fans are preparing themselves that Davis Mills is going to be the quarterback moving forward because that's just where they are, and you can see where their season's going, and you can see where they are right now. Yeah. You spoke about – I want to get to this real quick. You spoke about they're protecting him. And I know at times earlier in the season, you thought you were all right with it. I know the Carolina game, you were all right with it. Do you believe they've moved to a point where they've got to slow up on that? They've got to relinquish the reins a little bit on that and stop treating him
Yeah, he's proved to me that he can handle the offense, right? Now, again, he got overwhelmed in Buffalo, obviously, but if that's going to discourage you from moving forward and opening the playbook up and let the kid play, then he'll bench him. You know, that you might as well bench him. I think you should always keep in mind that he's a young quarterback, but when you're throwing missile screens versus a press man defensive back, that it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you're just, and I understand you're trying to get, you know, it's an extension of your run game. You're trying to get an outside run, but you're just wasting downs at that point in time. Right. I mean, they had one pass attempt of 20 or more yards down the field. One until the late interception when he forced it into cover two. That's
what I'm talking
about.
I mean,
one.
That was different from last week.
Yeah, and it's not like – I didn't watch that game and go, okay, well, Davis is taking the check down. No, I mean, they called plays to the sideline, Brandon Cooks on the stop route, stick route several times out wide. I mean, they were doing some different things. It just they just weren't able to get down the field. And I don't know if that's because the Colts were selling out and playing Ben Don't, which I would if I were the Colts. If I were coming in to play the Texans, I'd say, hey, my front's going to stop the run. I'm going to play Ben Don't Break and not give him any big plays, and I'm going to wait for Davis Mills
to make a mistake.
That would be the plan going into the ball game. And maybe that's what they did. Until I see the All-22, I don't know that. But if that is what they did, you got to – it's like the Colts. The Colts played a team that is a Ben Don't Break team, right? And they schemed up two 50-plus yard completions, one for a touchdown, one to get in field goal range, behind those cover two safeties, right? You got to do those kind of things. I don't know that the Texans are doing those kind of things. But nonetheless, regardless of why, I think Davis Mills is the plan moving forward for this football team. And if he shows that he can hold his own, I think you got to ride with him and see what he's capable of doing.
Yeah, I think many people, and I see this on the text line, feeling like if this wasn't a performance that showed that he's taking steps back to not keep him there, then it's like, so Buffalo is the low point. If he ever has a Buffalo moment again, that's when you got to maybe in your mind readjust.
Yes. Well, I think if
because that's ever, a complete, as you we've said, wheels falling off.
So I think it has to be blatantly obvious, you know, and very little good, if any, and a lot of negative plays for him to – I just think that's where the Texans are at. Like, I think he's got to go out and completely be overwhelmed again for the Texans to even consider. In fact, we heard David Culley today, and David Culley was backtracking a little bit his comments last week of when Tyrod Taylor will be available. I would think it's Davis Mills' job to lose, and I think he has to do a lot of bad to lose it.
Clint Sterner run the show. Hughley, Tyler Milner producing this. We are live at Kirby Ice House off Richmond. Come check us out as we get you started and get you ready for Game 3, a huge, huge, critical Game 3. As Clint was talking about, David Culley speaking. He spoke earlier today. He will speak again right after we go off here at 5 o'clock on the Coaches Show with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris, so make sure you stay tuned in for that. But as we go into Game 3, a critical thing, they're moving venues, and Boston is a bit of a different place to play. And Dusty Baker, which even makes the latest move with the starting lineups having Jose Siri in center field interesting, he himself speaks about how different it is to play in Fenway, which could be interesting in how they make decisions over the next three games.
The wall is probably, you know, one of the main challenges, you know, for our outfielders and infielders, you know, especially if you hadn't been there. You know, they know their wall and their stadium better than anybody. Very little foul territory down the left field line. I think it's only a foot or two or less. So that's a major challenge. It changes your cutoffs and relay positions. Your infielders have to go out more. You got caroms down the line, and you got caroms off the wall.
So two things. When I first heard that, I thought to myself, well, we shouldn't play around then. Michael Brantley should start in left field all of the games. All of the games. Michael Brantley has played his entire 13-year career in the American League, and he has played more than anybody else in that left field that they have to understand the green monster and the caroms and in different dimensions of where the ball may take off. And he's probably got a better speed to make sure he gets to it. Yordan Alvarez, who has been, and I'll admit, has been better of an outfielder than I thought he could be. This is not the time. These three games, he should be a DH and not fool around, because the pitching staff that the Astros are rolling out there, especially the starters, their margin of error, they can't afford to potentially give up more runs because maybe they made a mistake on who was out there playing, especially in left field, because now they're putting a guy who's never played there before in center, which there are caroms and stuff there as well to know that ballpark. So to me, when I first heard that, I thought Michael Brantley has to start all of the games in left field at Fenway.
Well, you add that left field. I keep leaving that off the list of decisions that Dusty has to make pregame. I mean, it's a very short list, right? We got the number eight hitter, which is obviously coupled with the center fielder, and then who the left fielder is going to be versus the DH, right? I mean, those are the decisions that Dusty has to sit in his office and make to the wee hours of the morning leading up to game day. And so it'll be interesting. I mean, it was game one when Alvarez started in left field. And yep. And then now the game three at Fenway, series starting in center. Yeah, I mean,
Dusty's game one, but Brantley started game two and left here. So, I mean, unless he is just straight up hurt.
Who are you talking about, Jake Myers?
I'm talking about Brantley. Unless he's just straight up hurt, and we know he had the knee issue at the end of the regular season that kept him out. But he started game two. Like, unless he's just flat out hurt, it doesn't make any sense for that to be the case. And I'm telling you, that wall, I mean, that could be a run or two if things are played or misplayed on that, which is even more interesting of why Jose Siri is in there. That is interesting. Hey, for Astros fans, for us here, I certainly hope it works out. I certainly hope it works out. But, boy, they need to make sure they get all the help they can get, no mistakes made with that staff. Because we saw Framber Valdez, I mean, he almost had a double play that could have gotten him out of the inning with Altuve. Yeah. And then that just – the floodgates even opened even more, which maybe could have been more innings. One play. And that's how quick it can change things. That's why I think that's very, very important in this series.
I mean, look, the Astros are one of, if not the best defensive baseball team in the bigs, and so they've got to be that. There's no question. The lineup's got to be special. The defense has got to be special. Yep. And you got it. The pressure is big time on Jose Urquidy tonight to give you five or six innings and not tax the bullpen more so than it's already been taxed, and definitely not put them in a position where they have to use Greinke and have to use Christian Javier, so or whoever, whatever their plan is tomorrow for Game Four, that game plan doesn't need to hinge on what the hell happens today. And the way that works is if Jose Urquidy gets into five or six innings and he bridges them to, two, could possibly be all three of them: Stanek, Graveman, and Presley.
Yeah, put the best outfield there out there possible for him to play behind. All right, David Culley, the head coach of the Houston Texans, spoke today, and now he's had time to rewatch the game. He's had time now almost 24 hours to see what he saw yesterday, and wait until you hear what appears to be the major things that jump out at him. I can tell you right now, Clint doesn't agree with him. We'll let you hear that coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly! parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.